I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What I normally would do is I would just listen. I would listen to the player and then at that point really try to advise him and understand that that I think is a minority. It's a vocal minority that's going to say those kind of things, and I also believe in, you know, people just throwing stuff like out there like that just for a reaction because they can't. I mean, through social media and Twitter, or whatever. There's so many different venues now for people to attempt to gain a reaction in an attempt to gain notoriety, maybe just among a small group of friends. So he has to understand that it is a minority; it is not a majority. I really believe that sincerely. And he has to know that he has our full support in dealing with all of it.
Middays on the Score.
Joe Madden on the Score with Lawrence Holmes. He joins Lawrence at noon on Tuesdays talking about Carl Edwards and the issue the team is dealing with right now. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch the Central Division champion Chicago Wolves as they battle Grand Rapids in the first round Friday and Saturday night at 7 at Allstate Arena. For playoff information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Patrick Mooney of The Athletic covers the Cubs. He is on Twitter at PJ_Mooney, and he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. What's up, Patrick? How are you?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good. Before we get into the Carl Edwards stuff, would you consider today to be the first of the so-called Theo Epstein highlighted trap games?
That's a good question. I think it might be a little too early in the year for them to be circling trap games. But, you know, yeah, that was an idea in terms of a state of mind for some of these you know, lower level teams, getaway days. You know, I'm sure they're, it's going to be a very small crowd in Miami tonight, but I think, you know, all that rhetoric's kind of out the window now. I mean, they know they can do the math and that they need to start to continue keep winning these games and taking these series, because the schedule really does get a lot more difficult as we get into May, so they got to kind of pile up some wins here now.
Yeah, Patrick, I was kind of thinking earlier in the morning that if there are literally circled games on the schedule, start under 500 means you kind of have to move or maybe even increase the number of circled games you've got. Like, getting back to 500, getting closer to the Brewers is almost, I mean, that's the overarching everything for them right now. It can't just be the 10 or 12 games that you've got circled. I wonder if they, I don't know, does it feel different than it did at the start of the season in terms of them needing to get back to that sense within the clubhouse?
I think at this point there's no sort of manufactured element to this. There's no mind games. I think when you start out the way they did at a time when the Central Division is really strong, and really outside the Marlins, it's hard to point to too many teams in the National League that are just flat tanking. And so, you know, these are all off-season discussions that, you know, happened throughout the organization. It was, you know, certainly driven by players who understood and recognized some things that they wanted to change. And, you know, I don't think it's front of their minds now. They just know they have to go out and play better.
So let's talk about the story that you broke regarding Carl Edwards. What was different? This, to me, the way everybody's talking about this tells me something is going past a certain threshold of concern here. Because, look, we all get all sorts of horrible messages. I mean, it's all day, every day. We all deal with it, of these kinds of personal attacks on whatever it may be, ethnicity, religion, whatever people wanting to do. What was different about this that rose to this level of attention?
Well, I think this was, you know, really specific to Carl, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not an African-American male. And this was a personal decision and reaction. And, you know, I think he had, this is not like the first time or an out of the blue experience, but, you know, Lee Long, his agent, issued a statement saying this had risen to a level that really made him uncomfortable. And, you know, the union is there to deal with, you know, a wide range of issues that have, you know, kind of cropped up as social media has kind of taken over our lives here. And, you know, I don't think this is necessarily an isolated incident. I think it's unique in that it kind of rose to this level, like you're saying, where there is kind of a formal inquiry going on.
I guess what I'm asking is was this a threat? Because as far as it being hate speech is protected, threats are not. Threats are crimes. Electronically transmitted threats are distinctly and specifically criminal. And we haven't heard that law enforcement is involved, but I'm wondering if it's the difference between unfortunately, what we now consider sort of garden variety hate speech and something where he felt he might actually be in danger.
I mean, I can't speak to any specific threats. I mean, my understanding was that the initial focus centered around that exact idea of hate speech that you're talking about, which I'm sure you're probably wondering about next steps, and that gets into kind of a more of a gray area in terms of how the Cubs and MLB can proceed here. But I also don't want to minimize or pretend that I know the entire scope of what has been presented to them or, you know, where this might lead.
Does baseball have a procedure for instances like this? I mean, the whole social media thing is relatively new, though the kind of threats and hate speech that Edwards may have endured is not. Do they have a set skill, like, hey, you've gotten this, now you talk to this guy and teams go to the league? I mean, do we have a set procedure for this?
Yeah, so basically, in this case, it's kind of operating on two different fronts that you have. And I'd say that pretty much everyone involved here is aligned. Kind of everyone's looking at it from the same, you know, point of view that it's just unacceptable. And so you have the MLB kind of social media unit, as well as the Players Union, also based in New York. And they have these kind of back-channel relationships with Twitter, Instagram, that they can kind of try and resolve issues, whether it's, you know, something as simple as getting verified or if someone's hacked, these kind of instances of hate speech. And if necessary, they can bring in, you know, law enforcement or their corresponding legal departments. So that would be kind of one area that they're looking at. And then on a club level, each team has these, or teams have these resident security agents who kind of are liaisons and can kind of look into these matters. And so I think you have kind of both of those cases, you know, all of these different parties kind of working together towards the same goal.
How does Carl Edwards look so far in Iowa? Looking at the line, 15 batters faced, one walk, three strikeouts, that's some pretty decent control, at least compared to what he was going through when he was up at the big league club.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you, just looking at the box scores. But I think, you know, to be clear, this, you kind of, the tipping point for this happened before, you know, he was, you know, demoted. And he recognized that, you know, he's kind of lost on the mound there. I mean, we talked about the kind of Kenley Jansen hesitation move, and he wasn't able to apply it out on the mound. He didn't finish last season, you know, all that well. There's kind of a lot going on, and I think he knew he needed to kind of step away for a bit, take a breather, and then ideally, you know, kind of fix his mechanics and get back to Wrigley as soon as he can. And I think you will see that. I mean, he's a terrifically talented pitcher. You know, he was on the mound for, you know, the biggest moment in franchise history, and there's, you know, a lot of reasons to believe that he will be a contributor in Joe Madden's bullpen. I just didn't necessarily see it happening. They just kept rolling him out there when they're off to a whatever 1-5 start.
We know that Anthony Rizzo has tended to start slowly. It doesn't necessarily mean it's okay, but he does have a history of rebounding from slow starts. But Chris Bryant is slashing .217, .329, .350. And I've read all kinds of analysis as to what's going on. And Connor and I have looked at charts and
everything
graphs
you can find.
And math and metrics. And we're seeing a guy who is struggling with changeups and curveballs. And then when he does get fastballs to hit, he is not barreling them up. What are you seeing, and what's a way out of this wilderness?
I wrote the other day, I think, you know, Chris Bryant, if you're a Cubs fan, should be at or near the bottom of your list of concerns. I think he set these – he made it look so easy in the beginning, and that, you know, I thought Theo put it well that, you know, you give him a month, he's an elite player. He's always put up numbers. Everyone, whether it's people coming on your radio station, what they're telling us in the clubhouse, in the dugout, that this guy is healthy. And that as long as he is, you know, I'd assume, you know, he'd be an elite player once again.
I'm looking at the production from a group of four, Javi Baez, Daniel Descalso, David Bode, and Ben Zobrist, all of them with weighted runs created plus over 130, with the exception of Zobrist, who's at 98, pretty decent, right around league average. I know Addison Russell doesn't come back until, what is it, the third now with the suspended game. Are the minors an option, at least to start things out for him?
I hadn't really thought of that. I mean, I think Joe the other day said, assuming Addison finishes off his suspension without any sort of another incident or a reason to think that he wouldn't be activated, mm-hmm. That he'd be back to playing shortstop, and that Javi would move to second. Joe's always felt comfortable standing in the dugout and seeing Addison at shortstop. I do think he would probably be mixed and matched in and out of the lineup more and not just penciled in to play the rest of the season as your starting shortstop, but I have not been given any indication that he would be moving to Iowa once he comes off the restricted list.
And the situation with a still struggling Kyle Schwarber is what at this point? Let him play through it or protect him from bad matchups?
Maybe a little both. I mean, I think they have so much invested in Kyle Schwarber. They believe in the hitter. They believe in the person that, you know, looking back on last season, it was still decent, even though he might have been, I think Fangraphs called him like the worst clutch hitter in the history of baseball, even though he had like the greatest clutch performance in World Series history, like coming off rehab and walking right into the DH spot in Cleveland. So, no, I think he's done enough defensively, put in enough work to show that he can be a capable defender in left field. Clearly, he hasn't earned that right to be an everyday player yet, but you know, I think this whole offense was designed around the idea of depth to get him through injuries and also to kind of create some cover for when these guys inevitably go through these down cycles.
What do you expect out of Cole Hamels, and has the conversation or any around him kind of concerned velocity, or is that just kind of expected to work its way perhaps back to where it was when he ended the season with the Cubs last year?
Yeah, I think he certainly gets the benefit of the doubt, and I think that's why, you know, they picked up that $20 million option right after the World Series ended. They, you know, quickly found out that that would mean moving some salary and it may limit some other opportunities throughout the rest of the winter, but they wanted that security locked in, not knowing what they would get from Darvish and knowing that they didn't have a ton of pitching, you know, ready in the upper level of the minors. So I think Hamels is really, you know, he loves pitching at Wrigley. The National League is a much better environment for a 30-something pitcher, and kind of like John Lester, once he gets healthy, you know, you just look at the track record, and he's always kind of, you know, figured it out. I think he will again this year.
Patrick, thank you. We appreciate your time, man.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
That is Patrick Mooney of The Athletic.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.